Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Out of a seat. That's it. And, you know, not just enough. You know, I don't want to see you just get for $800. I'd like to see you to get like $3,000. Say, okay, this will cover your costs for such and such. That's our heart, isn't it? And I'm all a bit tied up here. Sorry. It's all right. I'm bringing in Anthony today. Anthony was on, so I thought I'd have to be like Anthony today. A little bit. I love him. He's awesome. Shh. Don't tell me that. They don't know. They do now. Well, if anyone see the Facebook post, God the Builder. So I'm talking about God the Builder. Oh, thank you.
Circumcision.
Okay. We're leaving that right alone. God the Builder. So, you know, I was just thinking this week, you know, just about how God builds his house. And I was just thinking about how the Old Testament and the New Testament, which was really the old covenant way of thinking versus the new covenant way of thinking. And I was just thinking about that whole thing about, well, you know, in your old covenant, the people would go to a temple. They would gather from all over the place. They'd go to a temple. And the priests, there was only one high priest. And there was a tribe of people specifically set aside for no other purpose than to serve the people. Oh, sort of. And in the New Testament, it's very, very different. It's a completely different model. But what we've seen over the last, particularly the last 2,000 years, is a bit of an intermix between the old covenant and the new covenant. So there's a bit of a mix going on between what was old and what is new. And actually, Anthony's going to do a great message on that coming up on how to work that out, how to work out what's old, what's new. So that's awesome. But this morning, I'll start with 1 Corinthians 3 if you've got your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. I hope that my outfit isn't too distracting. I'm building God's house, amen? So 1 Corinthians and chapter 3, it says, "By the grace God has given me, I lay a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." You all know that our theme for this year is simply arise and shine and build. So we want to build this year, and you'll notice that in the natural we've started rebuilding into the hall. We're putting up our second story there, so we'll have the upper room. That should be pretty exciting. Fit 120 people in there, good luck. But you know, we're doing something, and often God does that. He does stuff in the natural and he does stuff in the spiritual to show us stuff, to show us what he's really doing. And God is building his church. Make no mistake about it. God has not forgotten the church. God, and when I say the church, I'll explain this more in a few moments, I'm not talking about these four walls. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living stones. See, in the Old Testament, they made with bricks and mortar. They pulled out their hammer. I better put it away before I hit somebody. But they did their bricks and mortar. But in the New Testament, we don't build with bricks and mortar. We build with living stones. Can you jump up here for a second for me, Joey? Turn around, face the people. I'm going to build with some living stones here. Hang on a minute.
Stones since I was a kid.
Hang on. Bit of a lump here, son. Two now. That looks a bit better. Did that hurt?
Yes.
Yeah. And it often does hurt when God's shaving off our little bumps and lumps and bruises and all sorts of things. But God is building. He's building in living stones. God builds his house one living stone at a time. That is you. You are the living stones that God is building. The church is no longer bricks and mortar, things made by human hands, but things that are made by God. You are fashioned and created by the Lord God Almighty, and a wonderful work you are. And that's what he's doing. He's building living stones. I love these metaphors that God uses, you know, the wise builder, and he talks about living stones, and all these different metaphors that God uses. I just think it's fantastic, just a different way to look at things. 1 Peter, if you would, towards your end of your Bible. 1 Peter, and I'm out of time, so thank you very much. We'll go a little bit longer today if that's okay. Is that all right? Is everyone all right with that? All right. It's important to look after family first. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are all living stones. And what a marvelous house it is. I've got a thing on my wall at work. It's got a human hand and all of the parts that make up a human hand. And then it's got a robotic hand next to that and all the parts that make up a robotic hand. And the caption underneath says, under the robotic hand, it's by design, and under the human hand, it's by accident. Yeah, right. It's true. You know, people think that we're an accident. We're an accident of evolution, you know. 14 billion years. It doesn't matter how much time I have, I will never make a 747. I will never be able to make, well, I won't say never. I was going to say never be able to build a house myself. I said maybe I could with some training and Anthony's help. Maybe. Might cost me an arm and a leg and half a kidney. Yeah, I can have my kidney. Oh, thank you so much. But, you know, I've lost my plot now. But God's building his house, and he's building it out of spiritual living stones. Each stone is uniquely put in place by God to accomplish his will, that is his ministry, upon the earth. Each stone has these attributes. It's living and it breathes. It supports all the stones beside it, under it and over it, behind it, in front of it, doesn't matter. Each one has its place and purpose in the wall. And each and every one is holy and has been commissioned as a priest. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about this morning, I'm really talking about the priesthood of all believers. One of the Old Testament things that used to happen in the Old Testament is that the people would come to the priests to receive prayer. People would come to the priests to have their sacrifices made. People would come to the priests. In the New Testament, you are the priests. That is you. The people shouldn't be looking for me and Anthony or Diane or Belinda. The people should be coming to you. You are the priests. You are the ones that should be praying for one another. You are the ones that should be laying hands on the sick. You are the ones who should be going out into all of the world and preaching the good news to all. That's your job. I think I've got a little overhead here. I've got a little demonstration of that. Are we there? Okay. We got four petrol pumps. Five. Thank you. You can tell arithmetic was not my best subject. I might be in IT, but I can't count. There are five petrol pumps. The apostolic or apostle unlettered, the prophet unlettered, the teacher unlettered, the pastoral unlettered, and the evangelist unlettered. Now I want you to imagine in your mind's eye with me. You drive into you're in your car and you drive into the petrol station and you're going to fuel up your tank. We hear a lot about the fivefold ministry and everyone wants on in it. If you've been a pastor for 10 minutes, you'll know that was a mistake. Not really. But you'll know that you've got to be called to it. You've got to be called to it. You've got to be called to be an apostle. You've got to be called to be an evangelist. You've got to be called specifically. But do you know what you become? You become the pump. You become the pump if you enter into those fivefold ministry. So I want you to imagine a few things. I'm going to ask you a few questions. We're going to have a bit of interaction this morning. Now, there's no particular order of these pumps. No one pump is more important than the other. No one pump will get you any further or less than the other. They're all just pumps. They give fuel. So I've got a few questions. If you go and fill up your tank at the pump, when is the fuel used? I'll give you five answers. One, A, when the pump says I can use it. Two, when I've paid the attendant. Three, when I close the petrol cap. Four, when I start the ignition. Or five, when I start driving the car. When is the fuel used? When I start driving the car. It's got nothing to do with the pump. So if you called to be you've got a prophetic gift on your life and you come and you get filled up at the prophetic petrol tank, you can't tell the pump, should I go out and prophesy? It's not the pump's job. The pump's there to give you the ability to use that fuel. Does the pump affect your ability to drive your car? No, it doesn't. But many people, I had this leader once and he told me I was just no good, so darn it, I'm just not going to do nothing. Give me a break. When did the pump have the authority to tell you what you can and cannot do? Are you not free in Christ? Are you not one of his chosen royal priesthood? Of course you are. Number three, does the pump go with you to make sure you're using the fuel as expected? Come on. And so many people, I'll tell you a story about that. I gathered about 40 people many years ago, and we used to have a church on Tugra Strait many years ago. And I gathered these people, about 40 people all came, and I said, I'm going to teach you an evangelism. This is teach you how to go and door knock on doors, and I'll teach you how to evangelize, all of this sort of stuff. So I did a whole big thing, and then at the end of it, I said, okay, you've got 3 hours now. I want you to go and evangelize the area behind us. And there was a huge housing estate in behind there. And off they went. I did not go with them. I didn't go with them. It would have completely defeated the purpose. Anyway, they came back and 39 people came back saying, that was amazing. We saw healings and miracles. I saw a bloke's leg regrow. True story. One of the guys saw some guy's leg regrow. He'd been in a motorcycle accident. Anyway, beside the point. They saw things. If I had have gone, they would have expected me to do that for them. That would have defeated the whole purpose. I had one man come back. And he said, you're a terrible leader. You'd be the worst leader I've ever seen in my life. And I said, why is that, Ron? He goes, well, you said all this stuff, but you didn't go. I'm leaving your church. And he did leave. He did leave. But completely missed the point. The pump doesn't go with you. Don't expect it to. Don't expect Di or me or Anthony or Belinda to go with you when you go out to minister. That's your job. We are here to equip you for the work of the ministry, and we'll give you everything we've got to empower you to change this world for Jesus Christ. We'll do everything we can, but we can't go with you. We can't hold your hand. You've just got to go. You've got to do it. If you want to do mission work, go and talk with Ray. Ray's in the missions. But just know that he might teach you or not go with you. He's the pump. Get the idea. Okay. So, whose responsibility is it to fill up at the correct pump? Can you blame the pump if you get the wrong fuel in your car? Silly apostolic pump telling me that I should go and plant 10 churches. He should know that I'm an evangelist. Yeah. Anyway, beside the point, you get what I mean. You can't blame the pump. You've got to fill up on the fuel that fuels your tank. What is that fuel? You've got to know. Ask yourself the question, who am I? Your name's not Keith, that's me. What am I called to do? Who am I called to do it with? What training do I need? What development do I need? Or can I just go? You know, over many years I've heard people joining music teams and I try and incorporate everybody, but sometimes you get somebody who's got a passion to sing. I just love the Lord with all my heart. And I often say, I love your passion. It's probably not a good idea. Could that be developed through training? Of course it could. May they... we've all seen X Factor, eh? Like they sometimes these the auditions are hilarious. The people that completely believe, their mum and dad have told them for the last 20 years that they are a good singer. So they believe it. My dad says I'm a good singer, therefore I am. And they're shocking. Sometimes you just got to tell yourself the truth. I'm just not so good at that. I had this lady in one of my churches a number of years ago. She's a terrible singer. Loved it a bit. She was passionate. But oh my Lord. She would strip the paint from the walls. It was shocking. And so in the end, I thought, she's so passionate. Her son played drums. He played very well. And I was a bass player. So I went, I teach her to play bass. Then she can play bass guitar with her son and they'll learn together, which is what I did. And she became an excellent bass player, one of the best bass players I've ever heard. But as a singer, no. No. As a bass player, yes. You can find your place if you're really willing to do the work and do the training, whatever you need to do. But you've got to know that. And it's okay to go out and give it a go and fall on your face as long as you're willing to get up. Anyone who's known me for a while has known that I have said 3 times now, I will not pastor again a church over my dead, rotting corpse. Well, here I am again. As Diane often says to me, God will have his way. Yeah, thanks for that. It is true. God will have his way. Because God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a passion for you more than you've got. Because he loves people more than we love them. And he wants to see them changed. And he's changing us first. Judgment begins at the house of God. The word tells us. We've got to start with us. Start with us and work our way through. Okay. When you're low on fuel, where do you go to get your refill? The TV station? Blockbuster movies? Read a novel on how fuel is made? Call a friend and ask for some fuel? Or go back to the fuel pump? Call a friend could be good. So if you're out in the middle of nothing and you've got no fuel in your tank, you're in trouble. Call a friend. It doesn't have to be me. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they may be. Reach out. Give VB a call. You know, give Ray a call. Give Val a call. Give Kathy a call. You'll be smiling in 2 minutes after talking to Cappy. He's the only man I know that can smile when he's in pain. He came into church about 6 months ago. He said, oh, Keith, I hurt my knee. Didn't you, Cap? He's got a smile on his face. He's telling me with a smile on his face. I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how bad can it be? You know, he's got a smile on his face. But I'm figuring it's bad. Oh, bad, he said, bad. I pray for him. Gets healed. Oh, my goodness. He gets healed. Good on you, Cappy. Always got a smile on his face. Call a friend. But first and foremost, go back to the fuel pump. Get refilled. Here's a controversial question. I had to throw one in. Sorry. I just had to throw one in. Should you pay for your fuel? Should you pay for your fuel? If you drive into Caltex and fill up and say, thanks for the fuel, mate, you're going to see some little blue lights following you. Should you pay for your fuel? God expects payment through usage. want you to say that again. I'll say that again. God expects payment through usage. The problem is we get filled up every week and we're not using it. What have you done with the fuel I've just given you? What have you done with the spirit that I've just poured in you? What have you done with the evangelistic gift that I've placed on your life? What have you done with the preaching gift? Or what have you done with whatever it is that he's put in your hand to do? What have you done with the gift I've given you to build buildings? What have you done with the gift I've given you to sing, to play an instrument, to worship, to honour, to encourage, to teach? What have you done with your gifts? God expects payment through usage. But unfortunately, in a Western society, we tend to expect more and more and more and more and more, and we're not really using what we've already got. I love Ray. I was talking to Ray on Friday. Was it Friday? I was at your house? Friday, I was at Ray's house. And he was telling me how that in many of these countries, what they do is that they teach somebody about Christ and then they start a home cell. Like they might be born again all of 3 weeks or something. 3 minutes. They're born again 3 minutes and they're running a church. Do you think that God's really going to pour something into that place? You want to bet he's going to pour something in. Because they're going by the seat of their pants. They're just going. They're just going to believe on what was said. We're going to go and believe God. And they're seeing miracles left, right and centre. Use what you've got. What happens if you misuse the fuel? Fire, explosion, danger. Oh, brother, let me just prophesy over you. I see a dark blonde in your life coming into your life, but I'm married. Come on. No car park prophecies, please. You know, you've got to be really careful with that stuff because you're affecting people's lives. I had one guy, I went and saw this speaker a number of years ago. He's a fantastic speaker, but he had a guy that was working with him, and the guy was praying. And as he starts to pray for me, he says, "I see that you've broken your marriage covenant." I said, "Stop now." "No, I can see that you have, because I'm wearing two rings." See? Silly man. So he made an assumption based on what he could see. Therefore, did I think he was a prophet? No, and I put him in his place pretty quick. That's not a prophetic word. It was rubbish. But the leader of the organization I was with asked me that question for months and months and months and months and months afterwards because he sort of believed it might be true. Don't say things that aren't right and don't go where you ought not to go. Yeah, it affects people's lives in a big way. The reason I have two rings is that my wife and I were married in 1994 in New Zealand and we redid our vows 10 years later and we bought new rings. You can't see something and make an assumption. And you can't base a prophetic word off something you might think you see. It must come from God and from the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you will get it wrong. I had a word over somebody in church about them being like chocolate over marshmallow or something. Marshmallow covered chocolate. Well, we had somebody leave the church over that because they said that can't be a word from God. But the person came up afterwards and said, "Wow, that was just exactly how I feel." Go with God, don't go with people either on that same side. Trust God. But if you misuse the fuel, there will be consequences. Or it could be that my motor blew up. Yep. The car breaks down unexpectedly. Or the men with the blue light on the roof show up. Anthony tells me on the other day, he says, "You know, when I borrowed your car the other year..." I said, "Yes." He said, "You know," he said, I ran it out of fuel. It's a diesel, right? You're not allowed to run diesels out of fuel. He said, but I didn't tell you because I was scared. He said him and his son had to push the car around up a hill or something to get it off the road on the medium strip. I haven't had that car for 2 years. He tells me 2 years later after I've gotten rid of the car, and by the way, no, can't blame the pump. Well, I left him with fuel. Left him with plenty of fuel. Who has ever run out of juice? Yeah? I got a classic. We bought this car. I call it the Morris from hell. And I picked it up from my father-in-law down in Wollongong. I said to the mechanic, so what do you think of this car, mate? He said, oh, it'd be fine as long as you don't have to go far. Right. He said, so where are you going? I said, Newcastle. He said, oh, good luck with that. I got the top of the Bulleye Pass and there's steam coming out through the top of the car. I go down into the gully of the Bulleye Pass, literally through the bush. I get two Coke bottles. I fill them up with water. I come up, I fill up this car. I put, go and fill up the Coke bottles just in case this might happen again. Put it in the back of the car. We drive at 40 kilometres an hour all the way to Sydney. We get to the Harbour Bridge. I learned something about the Harbour Bridge. You're not allowed to stop on the Harbour Bridge. They'll run you over. And there were flames coming out my bonnet. We're driving across the Harbour Bridge and Diane goes, can you smell like rubber burning? I said, no, don't be ridiculous. Next minute there's flame coming out through the bonnet. You cannot stop on the Harbour Bridge. So I've put the floor, I've got my foot flat to the floor to get off the Harbour Bridge. I get off the Harbour Bridge, I get out the back, pull out the two Coke bottles with water in them. And I put the fire out. But I don't ask, I'm not a mechanic, so I don't ask, I wonder what caused that fire. Most sane people would. I just thought, oh, well, you know, it's an old car, who knows. You know, I put the Coke bottles back in the back. We jumped in the car. We head down towards F3. Yes, uh-oh. I put my foot on the brake. No brakes. We're going down onto the F3. There's a big four-wheel drive in the front. Well, that's all I could see anyway. I put my handbrake on, slamming the handbrake on. It's going to stop. And I'm going, Lord Jesus, commit my soul into your care. The car stops this far off the bonnet, off the bumper of the car in front. Oh, my Lord. We pull up around the corner. I call NRMA, as you do. The NRMA comes and says, you cannot drive this car home. Okay, so we take it to a place. We go home. I come back the next day and I say to the fellow, the mechanic, how much to fix this car? He said, well, you got a spare 15 grand? The car was worth 400 bucks. Got a spare 15 grand? I said, not likely. I go and I get a trailer. We head down to Newcastle, grab a trailer. We're on our way back. There's a fire at Bennett's Green. Diane says, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, don't go. Don't be silly, I said. We've got this trailer. It's cost us 300 bucks. We've got it for the weekend. We're going. We've got to pick this thing up and get it back so we can get it fixed. We go and we pick up the car. We put the car on the trailer. We drive down onto the freeway. As we're driving onto the freeway, I turn the radio on. The F3 is now closed. 1994, January. Does anyone remember? 3 days on the F3 freeway, stuck with this stupid car behind. I eventually get to a cutting. We go back to Sydney. This is where I met Diane's grandma for the first time. We went to her house. Diane knocked on the door. Hi, Grandma. We need a place to stay. She slammed the door. I went, That's very strange. She knocked on the door again, they opened the door. The grandma looked at us. She said, "Grandma, we need a place to stay." "No." Greek lady. Anyway, Diane knocks on the door a third time. She lets us in. "Oh, you look like a good Greek boy. I haven't got a skerrick of Greek in me. You know, I'm half Pom and half Irish. You look like a good Greek boy. Here, you come and eat." She fed me and fed me. I rolled out the house. She just ignored Diane. Pretended like she wasn't there. It's just their culture. Anyway, make a long story short, the Morris from hell ended up on the side of the road with the plates taken off. But I didn't do it, but still. Stuff can happen. And so we can't blame, I couldn't blame the mechanic. I tried to blame my father-in-law. I couldn't blame him either. It was really my own fault. I should have checked the vehicle, and I didn't. That's half the story. I can't tell you all the things that happened to that car. Oh, that's where I was going, wasn't it? Run out of fuel. The starter motor in the car was playing up, and we're going up Charlestown Hill, and the car stopped. I said, "Oh, stupid starter motor, it's finally gone." I don't know why I thought it was a starter motor. The car was running. Anyway, beside the point. Me and a mate went and got another starter motor. $120 later, put the new starter motor in the car, still wouldn't start. Diane's saying all the way along, "I think it might be just out of fuel." I said, "No, the gauge is showing half full." No, she said, "Oh, no, I think it's just out of fuel." Anyway, guess what? It was out of fuel. I put fuel in it and away it went. Anyway, that's my out of fuel story. So when you run out of fuel in the middle of nowhere, what do? You pray. This is what Diane does. She prays to make it to the fuel station. And she has never run out of fuel. I get in the car and the light's flat out flashing. You experience that flashing light. Anthony said that light flashed like for 2 minutes and I was out of fuel. Diane will drive around for a week with the light flashing. I go, "When did you put fuel in this last?" "Oh, last time you did? That was like 2 weeks ago." Sometimes it works. Just pray. Sometimes that light's flashing and there's no one home, eh? A friend of mine used to say, "Yes, how'd it go? The lights are flashing, but there's no one on the station." Anyway, all right, so call a friend with a jerry can. Do you call a friend without a jerry can and commiserate together about having no fuel or jerry can? Do you sit on the side of the road beating yourself up for being so silly? "Why did I do that? Why didn't I fill up when I should have?" Well, there's a few of us like that. Or you sit on the side of the road waiting for the pump to come to me. I know what I'll do. I'll ring up Shell and the pump will come to me. Good luck with that. Try ringing the pump. Yep. Or do you ring NRMA, confide in a stranger and complain to the mechanic how the pump didn't give me enough fuel to get where I was going? I've heard that a lot over the years. And we are the ones responsible, church. Each one of us are responsible to keep our tank full. God is building his church. He's building it with living stones. The leaders are not the priesthood. We are all the priesthood. We should all be looking after ourselves and others as much as we are able. We are responsible to fill our tank with the right fuel at the right time for the journey we wish to undertake in Christ Jesus. If you need a top up, go to the source. Call a friend with a jerry can if you have to. Find the spiritual fuel that fills your tank. and fill up regularly. Don't wait until you're running on empty. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. You are an awesome, powerful God. And you are building into each one of our lives as if we are living stones. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for everything that you've done and given to us. We thank you for this new covenant that we are partakers in. We thank you so much for that. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our health. We'll pray for Linda. I think Linda's gone. Is Linda gone? Linda's gone. Let's just pray for Linda. Linda's having her big operation this week. And so we just want to pray for her. She's having a big hip operation. So, Father, we just ask you to bless this operation that Linda's having, Father. We ask that you would give the surgeon just skilled hands, Father, to do the perfect job to fix the mistakes that have previously been made. Father, that she would have no pain, that she would have a strength of character and inside of herself, knowing that you are with her all the way through this. In Jesus' name, amen. We pray for Sue, Father, while she recuperates, Father, from the stroke. Father, we ask that there would be a miraculous healing there. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a fantastic week. And I think there's supper and coffee at the back.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.